This morning, I'm not going to be preaching. I'm going to be sharing. I'm going to be sharing on the goodness of God. And so, Lord, I just ask that as I share, the truth of your goodness would be what is heard and remembered. And I thank you that I can share this. And if I have to pause once in a while, you'll understand. I'm sharing a story that's 55 years long. And the purpose of sharing is to focus on God's goodness. As most of you know, our oldest son, Eric, passed away February 7th. And Linda and I miss our son. However, God has given us a great peace. The 50-plus years actually helped us prepare for this time in many different ways. Before I start sharing about those 50-plus years, I want to just talk about God's goodness. And when I start a message, I always look up the topic that I'm talking about. So I looked in my Bible and I looked for the word goodness. I figured I'd have hundreds of references. I had five. Five references to the word goodness. And I want to share those with you because I think they're interesting. And the first reference was in Exodus 34:6. Not everybody goes back and reads Exodus, but I've read it quite a bit over the last several years. And that was where Moses told God he wanted to see his face. God said, "You won't live if you see my face." But then God told Moses who he, God, was. The Lord. The Lord God. Compassionate. Slow to anger. Abounding in loving kindness. And loving kindness is the word that's often used for goodness. Loving kindness and truth. And just that passage, those attributes of God are worth contemplating. Because that's the first thing that God really showed Moses about himself. So the next place that I found references to the word goodness was in the Psalms. And I would have thought I would have found a lot more than three, but goodness, it runs through the Psalms. David was a man after God's own heart, and goodness is expressed in many other terms. Excuse me. But I chose three different Psalms to share with you. Psalm 31:19 says, "How great is thy goodness, which thou hast stored up for those who fear you, which thou hast wrought for those who take refuge in you." Yes. Thank you, Lord. I could probably make a sermon on just that psalm. Psalm 52, "The loving kindness of God endures all day long." People are smiling. I'm smiling. And Psalm 145, 8 and 9 says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful," or compassionate, "slow to anger and great in loving kindness." The Lord is good to all. So I just wanted you to have that foundation before I started sharing. I'm going to jump ahead and then jump back. During our marriage, we were able to spend time with Linda's family. Both Linda and I grew up Lutheran. I even spelled it wrong here, but anyway, her parents and her brother Curtis and his family have been Lutheran all their lives. They love the Lord. During the late 1990s, The Lutheran Church in Philadelphia had a black pastor assigned who really loved the Lord. He was a born-again Lutheran minister. That may sound like an oxymoron. His name was Art, and Art was an amazing guy. One of the things I liked about Art, when he opened the service, he said, "God is good," and the congregation responded by saying, "All the time." And then Art would say, "All the time," and the congregation would respond, "God is good." So I'm going to ask my congregation, "God is good all the time." Thank you. So my sharing today is to give you a little insight into how God prepared us over the 54 years that we've known each other for Eric's passing. I met Linda in the fall of 1997. I was in the Navy, newly assigned to Norfolk, Virginia, as an ensign, which is the lowest officer rank that is available to you. And as soon as I got on my assignment, it was announced that the admiral that was leading our staff was retiring. And he was going to have a retirement party in November. And one of the requirements for all officers was to have an escort. Well, I didn't know anybody. I was new in Norfolk. But one of the men I was working with was a civilian programmer. I was in programming computers. And he said, "Oh, yeah, I've got a roommate up in Washington, and she can probably get her roommate to come down." So it's a long, funny story, but I'm going to make it short. Linda didn't want to come down. But she asked her roommate, "What are they having for dinner?" And the answer was steak and lobster. So, steak and lobster. So we were engaged in the spring of 68, married in November of 68. And I only met her parents a few times. But even then, Dad Cheney was in his early 50s. And he had trouble walking. And back then, they didn't know about Kennedy's. And since Dad Cheney had polio when he was young, they thought it was a recurrence of his polio. And at our wedding, Dad Cheney walked the bride to the altar, turned around, and fell. Caused a little stir, but he was fine. But he had leg weakness even then. And that was 54 years ago. So in December of 1969, the Navy was downsizing. It was the end of Vietnam. And junior officers were not as needed as they thought. So I was in the reserve, so I went back to a reserve status to fulfill my 7 years. And we moved to Saugerties Barclay Heights. So we've been in the area since then. Eric was born in 1970. Kurt was born in September of 1972, which in between those two births, we moved to Port Ewan. And we visited Linda's family several times a year, and they always came to our house for Thanksgiving. They loved to do that. Mom and Dad and Linda's brother Kurt and his family. But over the years, every time I saw Linda's dad, you could see that he was a little less able to walk. Also had trouble swallowing. Because what they thought was a recurrence of polio was actually Kennedy's disease, and they didn't understand that. And Kennedy's disease is a neuromuscular degeneration, similar to ALS, but it takes a much longer time. So he was eventually diagnosed with progressive muscular atrophy, which is actually what the disease does. And he was continually failing, and in probably the spring or even beginning of 1981, he had some very bad episodes, and he ended up in the hospital with respiratory and feeding tube, and he was in the hospital for 10 months in that state. Excuse me. So the family watched Dad Cheney get weaker and weaker. And in 1981, my son Eric was 11. So he, when Linda would go down, she would take the boys. And so he saw his grandpa in the hospital several times. So when Eric was diagnosed about 10 years ago, one of Linda's mine as well, but Linda's prayer was that Eric would not suffer as his grandfather had suffered. So I'm going to segue a little bit. In the last 3 years when we've had COVID in our Wednesday meetings, there was a lot of anxiety, a lot of concern, a lot of fear, and a lot of unrest. And so in those 3 years, we focused on a lot of different verses, but we focused on three verses that are, I think, key verses. And one of them was Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And I could ask anybody in home meeting to share these, but Philippians 4 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And then we also studied 1 Thessalonians 5, and Bob has even shared this about a year ago from up here. It's 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. Verse 16 says, "Rejoice always." Always. Verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." I'm not too good at that, by the way. I pray, but the without ceasing part is more difficult. "And then everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." And those two verses actually were key verses during COVID. And I could see a transition in our Wednesday night fellowship. As that became more real to us, we were not as overpowered and burdened by all the advertisement about COVID and all the fears that were associated with it. And then one of the other verses that was shared, that's one of my verses that the Lord has put his finger on me, is Colossians 3. Beginning of Colossians 3 says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." And I'm very good at setting my mind on things of the earth. I'm very aware of all that's happening and not happy about it, but I tend to focus on sometimes things of the earth instead of putting my thoughts on things above. So the truth of those verses have really sustained us over the last 3 years of COVID. And even now, today, you see all the fear that has been generated by the media. I see people jogging with masks on, riding a bike all by themselves on a beautiful day with masks on. We don't have to have that fear. The other verse that I didn't mention, that because I know everybody knows it, is that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, truth, and a sound mind. Thank you, Lord. And in the last 6 months or so, maybe even a year, we've noticed more and more that Eric was declining. When he would come over to help me out with a heating or plumbing problem, he would stay downstairs, and Linda and I had to go down and visit with him because it was difficult for him to even get in and out of his truck. It was almost impossible for him to go up steps. And, of course, that was reminiscent of his grandfather. Excuse me. So about 5 or 6 weeks ago, got a call one morning early from Eric. He was in real trouble. And said he couldn't breathe. And could I bring out his mom's portable concentrator, oxygen concentrator? So I made a very rapid trip down to 09 and got him on the concentrator. And when he started, his heart rate was 130 and his oxygenation was 70. So the nurses there know that that was not good. And it took over an hour for him to sort of come back to normal. But the Lord gave me a little, and you know, I was there, so I was watching this, gave me a little forewarning of how bad Eric had gotten, because we don't see Eric very often during his normal, he's very busy. One of the strong points in Eric's plumbing business was that if someone really was out of service, he'd drop everything, even if he was in the middle of a job, and help them. And that was one of the strong points of Eric's plumbing business. And he was known for that. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Just wanted to keep you in practice. So then several weeks later, he kept using the concentrator. Several weeks later, he got to a pretty bad spot, and he went into the hospital, and he had both COVID and pneumonia. And the morning after he was admitted to the hospital, he spoke to Linda. He didn't speak to me. And he thought he was going to be with Jesus. He didn't think he'd make it through the night. But the hospital found, they gave him 2 or 3 different antibiotics, and they got him back on track pretty good. But both of these instances just showed how compromised Eric's muscles were, because the smooth muscles are the muscles affected, and part of your smooth muscle system is your diaphragm and all the muscles in your throat. And so swallowing and breathing become more and more difficult. And then the last incident was that very cold Saturday morning we had, February 3rd or 4th, whatever it was. And Eric got a service call early in the morning out of heat. And he had a helper to do the work, so he and the helper, they got into the truck, which is about a 40 or 50 foot distance from his front door, but it was minus 15. And his lungs spasmed, and he never really recovered from that. He was without oxygen for over 10 minutes. My grandson-in-law, Garrett, is a paramedic.
Yes.
And maybe 6 months ago, his schedule changed. So Saturday mornings, he is in what they call the fly car, where normally he would have had Saturdays off. So he was there very quickly. So just another little thank you, Lord. But he was there, and he could, you know, help the medics really understand Eric's condition. However, because he was without oxygen for 10 minutes, he really just lost brain function. And they kept him alive for a couple days on a ventilator. And but his brain activity just continued to diminish and then came to a point of no real brain activity. And so he was in ICU for a couple days, and we got to visit him twice. The second time we visited him, they had just done a CAT scan, and it showed no brain activity, no significant brain activity. But he looked peaceful. Mom and I got to look at him, pray with him, talk to him. We didn't have to go back in again. But the good news, the other good news of all this, is Eric had always wanted to be an organ donor. So they were able to harvest several organs, among them both of his kidneys, which they harvested Tuesday evening, and both kidneys were implanted the next day. Thank you, Lord. So we were thankful that Eric didn't suffer like his grandfather. And we thanked the Lord. We praised the Lord. And we had a peace. Now, many people could not never understand that peace. But when the Lord gives you peace, it's the goodness of God. So our prayer is that all of you would know the goodness of God as well. Some of you are going through things, some of you have gone through things, but God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Yeah. So our prayer for all of you is to be encouraged by God's great loving kindness, his goodness to us and to our generations. And so the last thing I wanted to share with you, I forgot to write it down, so I'm going to have to look for it for a moment. And I want to thank many of you. Many of you gave us scriptures to encourage us, sent us sympathy cards with scriptures to encourage us. And we greatly appreciate those encouragements. And if I could learn how to turn pages, we'd be all set. So at the memorial service that Brittany organized, and you can continue to pray for Brittany and Garrett and family and all of his children, but during this time, Brittany did an amazing job of organizing. But Don Rumble came up to me, and he was serious. I don't see Don super serious too often, but he was serious. And he said, I have a verse to share with you. And he told me where it was, and my brain said, what? Because it was in Luke chapter 1, verse 50. Now, Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to the almost down to 58 or 59, talk about when Mary went to visit Elizabeth. And but verse 50 says, and all of you who pray for descendants, Gene Churchill do, I see Gene here, and his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. And so Don told me that, and of course, Saturday was an interesting day for the family, right? We were bombarded by all sorts of people and thoughts and well wishes. But he said, I think that was actually a prophetic word that Mary had for all those who fear the Lord. And he was encouraging me that generations would be saved. Because Linda and I fear the Lord and love the Lord. So I just wanted to share that with you. I think that was an important word that Don gave me. And we again thank our family here for all your support and all your love. God is good.
All the time.
Amen.